99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, Jeff, is that coming up? Ted's Meat and Potatoes hitting the grill, but first time for a few emails from the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail.
And we'll jump right into the birthdays brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company.
Dip responsibly.
Available at Market Time in Fremont.
Nice.
If you're looking for it. Let's see here. Fellas, today is my 29th birthday. Can I get Arnold, Mike, and Baltimore Miles roasting Ted for having the worst Ted versus the FCC record in the history of the show? And to finish it off, can I get Thrill's most enthusiastic bitch? Thanks, guys. That from Cody. All right, let's see here. Baltimore Miles. Depends on what day it is. Monday.
Come on, Niles. Find the bad music, whatever it is.
Get a kindergartner, could do better. You go to the library, you're driving an ambulance, and Aaron earned an iron urn. Can you say it?
I earn.
It's got to be the worst Ted versus the FCC record I've seen to date. Yeah, it was so much better back in 2008.
I thought you just wanted you to do your Baltimore accent roasting me.
I was.
Oh, yeah. You really suck this year, hon.
Yeah. You got a big bitch out for him?
That was great bitch!
Okay.
Favorite word.
Hello, guys. My husband has been listening to you guys for over a decade now. You guys satisfy him every time he listens to the show. He's 36 today. Please wish Jacob a happy birthday. How about Coach Ted hyping up the Seahawks against Miles Garrett's bitch ass and some dad jokes for Miles? Thanks, guys. That's from Chloe, Myla, and Inye, I believe it is. Inye.
All right, you know what? Coach getting fired up for football season already. Yeah, sure, Miles Garrett came over, but here's one thing he hates. Tight ends. Our tight ends, especially that 12 formation, Seahawks do it the best. Hey, rush up the field all you want, jackass. It's called a screenplay, Mr. Garrett.
My brother rolled into the studio right now. With, hello, Mr. Garrett.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're a great player. I just
hope you're a wonderful man.
Yeah, Miles. None of that was serious, Miles Garrett.
Couple of dad jokes, guys. Scary. I wish I could go back to my wedding day just one more time again.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't show. Had to cover my dwarf roommate's half the rent this month.
Oh yeah.
He goes short.
He goes short. Yeah.
What is a hot dog used for protection?
What?
Condiments. What did the banana say to the vibrator?
Oh.
Why are you shaking? What? She's going to eat me.
What are you doing in here?
And there's a couple that systematically shoplifting clothes in size order.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Police believe they're still a large. There we go. Patolos, today marks my 69 years since I was evicted from the womb. We celebrated my mom's 96th last month.
Good Lord.
So could I get an OG fish sandwich and the Dirty Germans telling me how I should celebrate 69? could you please tell me to shut my whore mouth as well, Thrill? You guys are the best. That from Steve in Bremerton.
Do you want to get a fish sandwich?
Yeah, the way to celebrate the 69 is simply lay on your back and open your whore mouth.
Yeah, the funny thing is it works very well. Have you ever seen the yin-yang?
Yeah, that's what it represents.
Yeah, just stare at that and hopefully you have a partner.
Yeah, and shut your whore mouth.
All right, guys, here you go. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Bob. A couple extra emails here. This is really taking off. Milk at restaurants is a subject.
Oh, yeah.
People have been talking about
this.
I'm just... It seems to be the topic of conversation now that we started.
It is the single most important thing we have ever brought up.
Guys, if restaurants don't have milk, what do they cook with? Isn't milk a staple in a lot of dishes? Thrill, I'm hoping you can shed some light on this. Keep on rocking, guys. That from Adam.
I mean, Adam, it depends on the restaurant, but overwhelmingly, a lot of places use cream instead of milk.
Or half and half in their drinks.
Right.
Yeah.
Where we use milk at home, a lot of restaurants use cream. And that's why when you go to restaurants, you can't figure out why this tastes better.
I mean, think about it. We're talking about box cereal. Use milk for that.
Yeah,
correct.
Macaroni and cheese requires a fourth a cup of milk. Mm. For the most part, there's not a lot.
But if you're at a restaurant that makes mac and cheese, they're making a home heavy cream. They're not using milk. Yeah.
Yeah. So milk is, I mean, it's got to be, I think it really has to be a restaurant that's a kid-friendly restaurant.
Yeah.
Right, because I'm thinking of a place I like, and it's a bar and a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
and they have very good food and stuff, but like, I don't know that any of their dishes are like cream based.
The next time you go there, just ask for a glass of milk.
I've definitely asked for a glass of apple juice once, and they were like, what? So I think that turned in, like, I'm pretty positive. I like to mix it with my Hennessy.
Okay.
Apple juice, not milk.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hennessy and milk, brother.
Yeah.
Oh. Keep your bones strong.
Subject here is sunscreen.
All right. All right.
It says, catching up on the Odyssey app, guys, I'm originally from Kenya. And when I was growing up, whenever we went on vacation, all the white people and tourists always smelled the same. And it was always a somewhat pleasant smell. When I came to the U.S., I was 19. The second summer camp came around, I thought, that's it. That's the same smell.
Aha.
It's sunscreen. I have another one with sun. My daughter and I are highly sensitive to the sun on the equator. Anytime we go back home in Kenya and Mombasa by the Indian Ocean, we will get a heat rash on the soles of our feet and on the palms of our hands. The crazy part is, as soon as we leave the coast to go back to Nairobi, a higher elevation, rash goes away in less than an hour.
Really?
Huh.
That's weird, man.
That is crazy.
Dude, somebody said that to me this weekend.
What's that?
Like, I was setting up my bar, and some of my friends showed up, and they were like, you smell really nice. And I was like, and I hadn't showered yet. And I was like, sunscreen and deodorant?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's usually like a tropical smell.
Yeah, it's coconutty. I mean, Hawaiian.
Do you guys ever wear a rash guard?
No. What is that?
Well, like, there's like rash guards that people wear if you're like, you know, if you're doing like jiu-jitsu or wrestling. But then also some of them have sunscreen in them. So you'll see people when they're out fishing or swimming in the ocean, but they're kind of skin tight.
Huh.
So now they have like button-up shirts that already have the sunscreen in them. And you could just wear them in and out of the water.
Huh.
Nice.
I didn't know that. Okay. And finally, one more helping hand and a bowling ball. Gentlemen, catching up on the podcast on the Odyssey app, wanted to share a time I helped my best friend reset his finger while bowling. In the middle of the hour of the lane we rented, we found a setting on the prompter to tell us how fast we were throwing the big balls. I saw his hand keep getting lower to the ground and advised him take his fingers out of the ball before he spikes the ball while mid-throw.
Yep.
He looked back and laughed. While two throws later, he proceeded to throw a gutter ball through the floor, popped out his middle knuckle on his ring finger. After laughing at him, I told him he has to set it back into place with all the adrenaline still in his finger. He asked me to do it because he was freaking out. So I set it back into place while calling him a pee. I told him it would be sore, but keep moving it and keep the swelling down so he could keep going to work. Not listening to my advice, he still went to a hand specialist 2 days later, told him not to move it, and wrapped it up. They also said he chipped the top part of a socket on his knuckle and that he had a good friend who set it back into place because people come in and they have to have it reset. And the longer you wait, the more it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
They did not know his best friend, though, thought it was, I was hoping to put more pain in him just to reset it. But either way, cheers, bitches, and love the show. That from Cody. Coming up at 5:08, we will drink a toast with the shout of the day. But first,
time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, folks. Glad to see everybody in here today. Now, you can grill any time of year. Obviously, warmer weather, sunny weather says go outside and grill. But hey, if it's snowing, you can grill. If it's cold, you're not a little, you're not scared.
No.
Go outside and grill. Miles, I know you grill a lot.
I do. I guess I do. I've gone through 2 tanks of propane for a single person in a half year.
Yeah, let's get it done.
Plus, you got a nice setup, right? Because you have your gas grill. You still have it up on that balcony.
I do. I mean, so the most dangerous place possible.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a gas grill. And also, I'm just saying, like, if it's raining or whatever, you still have a little bit of cover, so you can sit out there and grill.
And I keep it clean. Well, I mean, as far as the grease trap and all that stuff, I don't want to burn my house down.
Yeah, I'm just laughing. Can't it's funny. I feel like people with grills go one or two ways. Like, it's either
clean it at the once a year, the first time you open it in the summer, or clean it all the time.
Yeah, because I have some friends, and they can grill and stuff, but it's always just a smoke. Like, just so much smoke, and it's like, it's one thing to clean the grates, but it's like, you got to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different ways. You ever clean yours with an onion?
No. As far as just the top?
Yeah.
No.
The grates?
No, I do not.
I've heard that one works well.
Probably with a little olive oil, if you brush that on there, you'll do the whole thing.
So July is National Grilling Month. Again, most people are going to go out there and grill whenever.
According to a new report, the average American enjoys 13 grill days per year.
I beat that.
By far. The number is higher in Wyoming, Oregon, Michigan, and New Hampshire. Mm. Now, what do you think the states are that grill the least?
Probably the hottest ones. I would say like Arizona, maybe.
It's a cold one, a hot one, and one where they bury their food in the ground.
So I'll say Alaska's probably the least.
Alaska, Hawaii, and...
So Hawaii's on there. They grill. They don't grill much. Vermont and Mississippi.
Well, it's so hot there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
yeah,
so
but
hot.
Texas, they do it. Alabama, they do it, you know.
But Mississippi doesn't really have a style of grilling or barbecuing that lends you to go outside, where Alabama does.
I also think in Mississippi, right, like, I think that you're going to have more smokers as opposed to just sitting out.
Sure, sure. Right.
Sweating your
You want to go back inside.
Yeah, 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 you're probably
right. Right, and when you get your smoker set up, like, if you know what you're doing, you could set up that smoker, and then you could sit inside in the air conditioner most of the day. All right, 84% of Americans said they grill more if they had more opportunities.
Sure. In other words, if I were retired.
And then the 49% of people say they're not comfortable on the grill.
You just do the best you can with what you got every time. Like, it's never the same.
I think it depends if you have a bunch of people over and everyone's standing over your shoulder.
All right, well, all right.
You know, if you're just grilling for yourself or the kids, like, cool.
So people's fears when they're grilling, when people say grilling chicken. Like, all right, chicken is a little bit harder. You just got to be smart what you're doing. Dropping meat through the grates. Look, it happens.
And, it's annoying, but, like, yeah, it's not a fear.
It's annoying. Like, it can happen with burgers. I saw it recently, and just like, yeah, we lost that one.
Yep.
What else is on there? Running out of propane, cooking evenly so you don't end up with a burnt inside and a raw inside.
Having a dog roll off on you.
God, so freaking annoying.
I've had that. I know. I've had that.
You're trying to grab it. You see it rolling. It's like, you know, just it throws
my tongs
off
in hands.
The
just can't get it. So these are the biggest grilling sins. Number one, they say touching another man's grill without permission.
Yeah. Well, if you're over someone's house and they're grilling, that's not unless they say, hey, look over it for a minute. I got to go to the bathroom, whatever. I might sit there, but I'm not probably going to do anything.
Correct. Generally, when you're grilling, I feel like there's like a, I'm trying to think of here, like the next guy in charge, right? If you're the president, he's the vice president, or you're whatever rank in the army. Everybody has that friend that you go, hey man, watch the grill for me. You're right. I got to go chop
up
veggies.
But it's not someone random.
But it's never a random dude.
No, right. But you know the hot spots. You know all the differences in the grill. So, you know, don't mess with it if you don't have to.
And you just know who you trust with it.
Absolutely.
Right? Like anybody on this show, I trust.
Sure.
Right? Marshawn, I trust. I'm trying to think. I have a couple buddies where I'm just like, I've never seen you grill, man. So I'm like, no offense, but like, right. I don't know what you're doing. Like, you might get crazy on that thing. These are some grilling sins. Not allowing the meat to rest before serving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. Also, for people scared of cooking chicken, get a meat thermometer.
Right. Just make it easy, man.
I would also tell people this. Remember, never, ever put barbecue sauce on anything until the end. It has a high amount of sugar.
Yep.
And it'll crystallize and get basically burnt on there.
That's exactly it.
And ruin your grill, too.
This is a big grilling sin. Opening the lid unnecessarily. What's
People
our saying?
Just can't help themselves.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to flash, I typically keep the lid open. Because if it's closed, you're going to cook the middle. And if you really just want a nice, you know, medium rare or something like that, I kind of feel like you go high heat, leave the lid open, and just kind of instead of...
Sure.
But you have like an oven. You know?
But right. People put on burgers and dogs. It's like, dude, just leave the lid down. Let them cook.
Yeah. Oh, correct. Yeah. If you're just searing a steak, you're right. You want it on the flame, high temperature. Pressing down on the burger with a spatula. We used to all do this back in the day. There's no reason to do it. If you got a flat top on your grill and you're making a smash burger, that's one thing. But there's no reason to keep pressing on the burger to get flames to shoot up.
No, you don't want to lose all the juice.
That's the whole point.
Now, they do add as a grilling sin, backseat grilling. Someone who's hanging around in the background with plenty of opinions on what the griller should do. Now, I won't chime in a ton. Well, but one of my favorite things, like, I feel like if somebody's grilling and it's like a party, like, I naturally am going to stand near that grill drinking a beer and chat with you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But that's chatting.
Yeah.
And you might have questions, but don't offer advice.
Correct. I've done it to you. I've done it to everybody in this room. Like, I'll have questions and be like, oh, that's what you're doing. That's what you're adding. I'm not going to be like, you are effing that up.
I'm not eating that.
right? First time, huh?
I brought my own dogs.
All right, now these are seven things you should never grill. And there's some hot topics on here. Kebabs is one of them.
They say don't grill them.
Yeah, so here's the big deal. You can grill kebabs, but
they'll cook at different temperatures.
And please, God, you need two separate skewers, a vegetable one and a meat one.
See,
meat takes a lot longer to cook through the way you want it, especially if you have chicken on there than the vegetables.
Seafood takes no time.
Here's my kebab trick. You get a vegetable basket, right?
Mm.
You chop all your vegetables up, coat them in a little bit of oil, throw those in there. Then, don't do anything to your chicken. Just leave it as it is. It's a thigh, a breast, whatever. Grill the living hell out of it. Here's your piece of chicken. Here's your vegetables. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Instead of sticking it on a stick where it's just like...
Right.
It's just easier. It looks good. But
at the
end of the day,
at the same time.
You got to take it off that stick anyhow.
Yeah, well, you should.
I mean, I like the idea of kebabs in a Japanese way, as far as those dishes go, and that little hot grill I got, the little tiny.
Sure, or if you go to, like, the Mediterranean when they're grilling stuff. But those are generally just, it's just going to be meat on a skewer.
It's a kebab.
Yeah. They say most, these are seven things you should never grill. They say most types of fish, including salmon. They do better if you cook them on low heat. If it's really flaky fish, the smoke can hide the flavor. Tuna, swordfish do well in the grill. Before everybody comes to my head, if you have a halibut or a salmon and you have a cedar plank or something like that, and you put that on your grill, then I say go for it.
Anything
I put the halibut directly on the grill.
Do you?
I do. Yeah, halibut specifically. But with the halibut, usually there's still skin on it.
Yeah, okay.
So you put skin side down, get the smoky taste, right? And then when you pull it off the grill, the skin comes off, no problem.
I'll tell you what, man, seafood, though, anything with a shell, shrimp, mussels, clams.
I agree.
Throw those on there and let them pop open.
Yeah. Shout out to grilled oysters. They were delicious, Sal. All right. Pizza is something you should never grill.
I've never. I don't know that crossed my mind.
My buddy does it, and it's good, but he's got a stone that he, like, puts on there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you put it on. Yeah. And, like, look, some people just like grilling, so they want to grill it. Listen, I'll be dead honest with you. This is not my list. You can grill whatever the hell you want. All right. I recommend it.
Give it a try.
But sometimes it is a little harder to grill pizzas, but it's a fun activity.
Sure.
And then nowadays, they're kind of expensive, but with the advent of all these like pizza ovens that you could break down and just set up, man, there's a lot of action on that. I disagree again with this one. They say seven things you should never grill. Filet mignon. They say it doesn't have enough fat for the grill. They're usually pretty thick, so it's hard to cook them the way you want. Here's a little secret I've learned. Everybody has probably a standard grill, right? Whatever. If you have one of the little hibachis you use at a tailgate or you're camping, those things don't have temperature control. So if you leave that thing closed, it gets so hot. You take your filet, you've already seasoned it, it's been sitting out resting. You could get a great sear on that thing with that little grill.
Also, the coals are closer to the meat as it cooks compared to a regular grill, which will give you, like 8 inches away from the coals.
Yeah.
You have those little ones, man. I mean, it's almost on top of it.
Then the last one, and a lot of people are going to argue with this one, burgers.
Oh, come on.
The argument is that the fat drips down, the outside doesn't get caramelized, you lose flavor. Like they say, flat piece of cast iron placed on top of the grill. I don't know. You're never going to convince me we're not going to grill burgers?
Yeah, grill the burger.
I'll tell you one thing they do have, and my stepfather was talking about this last night because he just got one. There are, like, if you have a Weber grill, a gas Weber grill, all right? There is a, like, a cast iron, but not really cast iron, replacement you can for one grate.
Yeah.
So if you have, like, three grates,
One
will just be a flat top the entire thing. So if you want to make those smash burgers, like, you're not going to lose the juice. Whatever you're grilling that you want to not go down through the grates, put it on that flat top. And just,
You know. And again, hey, man, it's your grill. I say grill whatever you want.
Including burgers.
Right. Invite us
there, and there's something just fun about sitting outside, flipping a burger on a grill.
And they taste so good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. Coming up at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with the Shot of the Day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
All right, so coming up here at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with the Shot of the Day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check with Mike Hawk and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. Apparently, phone repair shops are booming during the heat wave due to people putting their phones in the refrigerator.
Because they're following, like, what do you call it? Like, Instagram advice and all that TikTok crap.
Oh, is that where? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like a bunch of quote-unquote influencers are like, oh, hey, man, if your phone overheats, put it in the fridge. So a lot of people are following suit, and then you come to find out that's a terrible
idea. Your phone never giving you a heat warning.
Yeah, I was about to say, just keep it out of direct sunlight this time of year. I've definitely, it's like, I'm too hot.
I cannot believe that on the back of a phone, it does not have solar panels. So you leave the solar panels up, takes in the heat, charges the battery, doesn't get the phone hot.
Kills whales, bro.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
It's always something.
Yeah.
Every time my phone's been like, it's too hot, I'm like, me too, phone. Like, it's gross out here today, dude.
It's nasty, man.
Yeah, you're right, phone. It is too hot.
Group of scientists recently gathered upwards of 100 species of spiders and raced them to see which was fastest, and I'm not working on it because we already did today.
Yep. The huntsman spider. Of course, the huntsman is the fastest.
I'm still chasing you.
Right. I don't like the idea of that big damn thing sprinting after me.
No. Not at all.
Makes you feel any better. I had a big black one in my sink this morning.
Oh, what
yeah,
was
I feel better.
What are
the, well, he's dead now.
Pacific Northwest giant house spider or something like that?
I don't know. He was an evil-looking guy, and I was just like, oh, intruder. Hope you could swim, little buddy. He couldn't.
I have had... They can. That's the problem. You flush them, and then they'll come back out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I squeeze them to death first and then flush them.
That does prevent them from swimming.
Enjoy your watery grave.
I've had the oddest relationship with one here in my room. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and he's up on my ceiling. And I've got 10-foot ceilings in here. So it's in the middle of the night, I'm not going to get up on a stool and kill this little sucker. So he and I have an agreement. I just look at him and say, you just stay up there. I'll stay down here.
He said, don't worry. When you fall asleep, I'll climb on your face.
Pretty much. But you know what? I close my eyes and open them up about what seems like 15 seconds later, and he's just disappeared, and it scares the crap out of me. But at least he's out of sight, out of mind.
I have money that says when you're asleep, he drops down on you.
I don't
whispers
want to
in your ear.
Mike, you're going to wake up one day and not be able to get out of bed because there's a web over you.
He's just whispering in my ear, you're a little bitch. I've been waiting to get you. I'm your daddy. Apparently, sleeping too long could be an early sign of Alzheimer's.
Well, what is too long?
Right, like the recommended amount is what, 6 to 7 hours? So I'm guessing anything over 9?
Well, if it's consistently like that. I think if you need to sleep a lot, then your body's telling you that you are exhausted. You've done something, you know, you've been busy for a few days, whatever the deal is. I mean, your normal sleep schedule should just be somewhat consistent.
Right. I feel you.
I got like 6 and a half last night.
That's about where I was at. I've been sleeping like the dead lately, man.
Well, then you'll still be asleep, Mike.
Yeah, true enough.
What was kind of nice, too, is last night some of that cooler air moved in. It was quite nice.
Oh, it was lovely. Put your thinking caps on, gents. Time for the Merriam-Webster Word of the Day. I'm going to give you guys, honestly, a 10% chance of success on this one. Steve, you currently hold the title with a single win yesterday. It is a noun brought to you by the letter B. And what this is a small household ornament or decorative object.
Bobble.
It's a bobble. You're close, but no, it's a three-syllable word.
Starts with B.
Small household ornament or decorative object, starting with B.
You said it. What is it? A noun?
Yeah. Noun. The word is bibelot.
Oh God!
No. I never would have got that.
Yeah, bibelot. Bibelot.
I've
only heard that once. I can't remember what in what context
they're talking about the small ornament.
You know, something. Bibelot.
Do you want to come over
His
and look at all my...
set up a table every week at the flea market where he sold all sorts of bibelots and bric-a-brac from ceramic figurines to tiny brown glass gold.
Bibelots and bric-a-brac.
Okay. That sounds like you're insulting somebody.
Yeah. Dumbass bibelot.
Bric-a-brac. Apparently, night owls are found to carry more body fat and have worse blood sugar markers.
Well, I believe that. You typically don't make your best decisions at night.
Yeah.
That's a fair call.
I mean, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink.
Some people just can't sleep.
Sure.
But,
all awake and fat.
I don't know what it is, man. I turned back into a pumpkin by 8 o'clock.
Now I'm a late night guy. I have to force myself to go to bed at 1 just so I know I can get a decent amount of sleep.
Good Lord. I'm usually waking up to pee at 1.
Next time you wake up to pee, just say goodnight. I'll hear it somehow.
Yeah, like we always say, like, I'm just a thrill. Like, to me, Mike's like, oh, I'm asleep by 10. I'm like, 10 o'clock's when I'm, like, launching into a series I want to watch.
Yeah.
Tell you what, next time I wake up at 1 to pee, I'll text to both of you. Good night, guys.
Yeah.
Good night, Mike.
I'll be asleep with Mike. Happy peeing.
Looking out for spiders.
According to a new study, some pre-cooked seafood may actually carry more chemicals than raw fish.
Well, I believe that.
Hey,
it's pre-cooked, so to preserve it, I'm sure they added something.
Exactly. I don't... Yeah. Seafood's already kind of a dangerous food, as it is. It's fine. Like, you're not going to die from it, but I feel like you're rolling the dice as to what kind of seafood you're getting here.
Sure. I mean, what do you mean? Like, it's not like bingo. I mean, you kind of know what you're eating.
I just feel like if somebody eats a bad something, it's seafood related, more often than not. You know, you had a bad oyster, bad clam.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It's also, I was going to say, I'm kind of with Mike, right? Like, if you buy shrimp, you know what I mean? Like, you got to cook that in the next day. You know what I mean? Like, I would let shrimp sit around raw in my fridge for 3 days and then be like, oh, cook it now.
No.
That's why there's nothing wrong with buying seafood. It's all flash frozen. I mean, you can buy fresh if you can, but you're right. You got to cook it right away. But most of the time, you go to the grocery store, you just buy a bag of shrimp. It's already frozen. You throw it in the freezer, cook it when you want.
And I'm not talking like salmon or tuna or anything like that. It's usually like kind of the shellfish variety.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they're, you know, the bugs of the sea tend to be a little sketch.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I ate that green mussel.
Ooh, are they good? Green lip mussels from New Zealand? Jesus, are they good. I love those.
You're going to cramp yourself the next day, but you know what? They're delicious.
Oh, my God, I love those.
New data shows that 9 out of 10 avocado oil products flunked an authenticity test.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not really avocado oil?
I believe so, yeah.
All right.
They say they have avocado oil, but they're doing something to where they're able to kind of skirt that label to where they can say it, but they can't be held accountable because there's no avocado.
Because the avocado oil...
How do you swing it to say, well, you can say it, but you won't be held accountable for lying?
I think it's one of those things like, you know, American wasabi is just horseradish.
Yeah.
There's things that has... This has 0 grams of trans fat, but it has like 0.9 grams of trans fat.
Right.
You know,
it's like truffle oil.
I
think it's just, right, truffle oil was this massive thing. People were paying a ton of money for it. And then we realized like there's not real truffles in it.
I'll tell you what, those avocado oil potato chips are fantastic.
Oh, the Boulder?
Yeah.
I was just telling Phil about that brand.
I got a bag in my desk right now.
They are knocking
it down.
I don't like. I told Phil, I was like, I guess they're supposed to be better for you. It's just a good brand of chips.
No, it tastes great.
Yeah.
But you know what? Those the clever wording is just one of those psychological tricks that brands like to use to influence people. And in fact, they use a whole lot more.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
So this comes from one of our favorite websites there, Steve, listverse.com. And it's 10 psychological tricks brands use to influence you. Number 10 on the list, they go with the decoy effect. So what they say here, behavioral economist Dan, he tested a subscription pricing. He found something strange. Offering a bad deal could dramatically boost sales of a better one. So the magazine offered 3 choices, $59 for online only, $125 for print only, or $125 for both. Almost nobody chose the print only option. But its presence doubled the number of people who chose the print and online bundle. That middle option, clearly inferior, was acting as a decoy.
Oh, I see.
Makes sense, yeah. Oh, well, hell, I can get both. I have no interest in one, but now that they say I can get this thing I'm not interested in at a bundled price, I'll do it, yeah.
And honestly, I think it's the same thing that movie theaters do with like popcorn pricing. You know, you're not going to get the small. Nobody wants the small popcorn. And the large is, it seems like it's a ton more than that. So you're going to go for the medium. Well, you know, for 25 cents more, you can get the large. Well, shoot. Yeah, I'll get the large.
I mean, they do it at bars, airport bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, man, you want 20 ounce beers for, you know, $1.50 more. Like, okay. Yeah,
you want a shot for like half price?
Yes.
It happened to me at 7-Eleven the other day. I was buying one of those like pre-made like Dunkin' coffees.
Yeah.
The guy's like, well, they're 2 for whatever. And I was like, oh, I guess better go get the other one.
I mean, you know, I would do it too.
Do you go with the scarcity timer? You ever been in this situation? You booked a hotel online and you see they've only got 1 room left at this price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with airlines.
But they're not necessarily lying. You just might find out that the other price they have is actually cheaper than the one they're having you bid on. We only have one left at $100 and you're like, oh, crap, man, let's jump on this. And the next one that pops up is $89. You're like, God damn it.
10 people are looking at this right now. Mm-hmm. Last book 3 minutes ago.
Restaurants do it sometimes, too. Like, barbecue joints, I don't count because they literally have a finite amount.
When we run out, we are done, yeah.
But there is some restaurants that have stuff on their menu, and then it's like, ah, we don't have it today. And, like, finally, I was like, do you ever have it? And the waiter's like, rarely.
It's
really good. We really only have it in-house, like, 2 days a week. I was like, you bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's a similar tactic as to why auctioneering works. people ask what's with all the song and dance, what's with the chant and all that, is to create, honestly, pressure and a sense of urgency.
Well, pressure works. Because it's a public thing. You know, you're sitting there and got to raise your hand for something or whatever the case might be.
Exactly.
Pressure makes diamonds. These are,
that's right. That's exactly right. 10 psychological tricks brands use to influence you. They go with anchoring. They're talking about JCPenney here. In 2012, JCPenney tried a bold move. They eliminated the fake sales. They offered honest prices every day. The result? Their revenue dropped by $1 billion in a single year.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because for decades, they were used to seeing a shirt that was marked down. This is usually $80, but now we're marking it down to $24.
I look, even against
the shirt
me.
Was never actually, right. As even if the shirt was never actually $80, seeing that major deal, that makes people buy things more.
But a lot of times, just say it's on sale. What, didn't they call out Amazon, like some of the Black for whatever, the Cyber Monday deals?
Prime Day deals.
They were like, look, man, they're not lying. They're having a sale, but on this particular sale, the product you're buying is marked up 10%.
Exactly.
Back because people are so excited for the sale. And they're like, oh, no, it's the sale. We just didn't discount it. We raised the price, and you still bought it.
Yeah. Correct. You're still buying it for the exact same price that you normally
yep.
We've heard about this one all the time, the color psychology.
Sure, absolutely.
McDonald's chose red and yellow for more than brand consistency. Red is psychologically linked to urgency and stimulation. It grabs attention, stimulates appetite. Yellow evokes warmth, happiness, and speed, which, to be honest, I am amazed that they could actually map this in the human brain to know that it's like, this color tells your brain this. Like, that's
insanity. Well, keep in mind, they've been doing that for years. It's just when you got around the big business, and McDonald's was smart to say, you know, they've done the study. We're not doing the studies, but this information's here. So McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Carl's Jr. I mean, pretty much when you go through the fast food, Arby's, I mean, you name it. For the most part, it's going to be red, yellow, and orange.
Right. They might have a third color in there, but I feel like red and yellow are always
absolutely
involved.
Absolutely. They go with you ever done this? You gone onto Amazon and you were trying to buy stuff. You put stuff in the cart and they say, you know, you get free shipping on orders over $25.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Shipping's $4. So, but they found that when you offer that, myself, my wife have both been included. Like, well, you know, we get free shipping if we get one more T-shirt from the WWE shop.
Well, but that's based on urgency. Like, it's going to be free shipping on Amazon probably no matter what. It's just a matter of how quickly do you need this item. So you're going to pay up.
So that's like, what he's saying. Well, it's only $4, but I'm about the $20 shirt. So I ended up spending $16 more than I would have if I just said whatever.
Take Amazon out of it. But I mean, a lot of places that ship, because everything ships now. Yeah. Like, it's always that. Spend this much and it's free shipping.
Free shipping, yeah.
So, and Mike's right. I fell for it too. Like, oh, you know what? I do need yet another baseball hat.
Yes.
And the thing is that we know that we're being scammed because we look at it and you're right. It's $3.99 for shipping. And like you said, I've got $16 in my cart. So I actually spend less if I just buy the doggone item. But, you know, you treat yourself to get some free shipping. It's basically like you got it for free.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just that reward. Like, I'll spend more money, but the shipping is free.
Right. Personalized recommendations. Again, these are psychological tricks that brands use to influence you. They say when Netflix shows you rows labeled because you watched, it creates the illusion of a tailored experience. But behind that friendly interface is an algorithm designed not to give you what you want, but will make you stay longer. They don't just learn your taste. It nudges you toward content that it wants you to watch, which is basically its original shows, which have a higher profit margin.
Right. Hey, since you watched this, we recommend. And look, to be fair, I know it's an algorithm. And look, I know they're duping me, but also, in those cases, you're probably not wrong.
Yeah, so I got to get credit.
If you watch Jaws, you might like Deep Blue Sea. Like, I understand the connection you're putting in.
Exactly.
You watch Debbie Does Dallas, you'll probably love Christy Canyon, you know. Mm-hmm.
Canyon.
Social proof. When you see 15,872 ratings at 4.6 stars on an Amazon listing, it instantly boosts your trust. Now, they call this social proof. Those numbers are actually often misleading. Many top-rated products have fake or incentivized reviews, with sellers offering discounts, refunds, or even cash in exchange for 5 stars.
Yeah.
No, I believe it.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I would do it. I mean, give us 5 stars, we'll give you this. All right. Cool.
Sure. With this one. They call it default settings. When you create a Facebook account, you're opted into facial recognition, ad targeting, location tracking, and off-platform activity monitoring, unless you actively dig through multiple menus to opt out. That is completely intentional. Facebook uses default settings to quietly collect massive amounts of data, knowing most users won't even bother to change them. They just don't care.
And that's not just Facebook. I mean, anything you sign a contract with, subscription, yep. You name it, Facebook will always kind of be the... the face of deceit, but it's pretty much everybody.
Absolutely. They use Starbucks for this example here. Again, these are the psychological tricks brands use to influence you. They call it gamification. Say, Starbucks doesn't just serve coffee, it runs a psychological slot machine. The Starbucks Rewards program turns every purchase into progress towards a goal. You earn stars, unlock tiers, get bonus days, and receive custom challenges. You think about the number of, you know, have you joined our club? Have you, you know, put your phone number in, and then we'll start getting you points. And after you get, honestly, after you spend $1,000 here, we're going to give you a free $25 t-shirt, that kind of a thing.
But it works, man. Look, my wife has like every rewards card from every store that has ever been created on this earth. And depending, so she goes to a certain grocery store because it saves us money on gas, right? Even when we book an airline, there's no loyalty to an airline. They're all the same thing in the end. But we have this many miles on this one, so you stick with them. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's it. So it works. It's smart.
Yeah, because if you use your points, I mean, I did it in when I flew down to Vegas a couple months ago. Like, I basically had a free flight as I just used my points.
And I think it's smart if what you're selling is more of a commodity than a product, it makes sense to do a rewards program. Because in the end, if I need groceries, I just need food.
I
don't care what grocery store I go to. I need freaking food. But if I go to this one, I get rewarded. So now I go to this gas station, right?
Same one of airlines. The best knives I own, I got free from a grocery store. Because it was around Christmas. The guy was like, oh, you have this many points. Like, you qualify. And I was like, oh, thanks. It's a great knife.
That's awesome. Then he stabbed the guy that gave it to him. Such a sad story. Merry
now
Christmas,
I'll leave you with this last and final psychological trick.
Bob!
To influence you. Basically, it's easy as it can be. Minimalist design. Modern scammers don't build sketchy websites anymore. They copy and design language of legitimate, highly trusted brands. Many phishing pages now replicate Apple's minimalist style with gray backgrounds, sans-serif fonts, rounded buttons, and generous white space. Some even mirror official Apple URLs with subtle typos and use real logos or embedded iframes to fool users into thinking that they're a secure portal. This works because minimalist design subconsciously signals competence and credibility. We've been trained to trust clean designs thanks to companies like Apple, Google, and Stripe.
Well, even going to someone's house. I mean, if they're a hoarder, you have one opinion. If it's spotless, you have a different one. Chances are the serial killer's in a spotless house, but still. A little more meticulous.
Yes.
A woman in Florida was hiding from police in a shed, but you won't believe what gave her hiding spot away, Miles.
What did give her a hiding
spot
away?
Tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast the team doctor for the Senegal's men's soccer team. All right, now he has been the team doctor for that team since 2017, including this year's World Cup. Anyway, he's found himself in a bit of controversy after a soccer official accused the team doctor of not being qualified to serve as a doctor for the men's team because he's a gynecologist. There you go. That's the whole thing. They're like, look, we're not saying he does not have a medical degree. We're not saying he does not understand, obviously, basic medicine. It is the men's soccer team. His specialty is the vagina. You do the math. But they also pointed out, they said, look, we're not trying to be chintzy here. He is a doctor. But they said even when he talks to the players about certain things, the players don't necessarily buy in.
I've never seen one of their players bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying, man. Like,
wow.
Damn,
Jesus.
You know, straight forward.
That's a colleague. He's going to have his job.
Bleeding from between the legs, finally.
Wow, dude.
I've been waiting for this.
You're pregnant. Oh,
Jesus.
So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bichola.
Let's get a contestant online for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.